I would like to invite each of you to listen carefully to God's voice in your heart. Listen to His voice. Do not be afraid. Do not be afraid.
Hello and welcome. I'm Father Chad Arnold, and you are listening to About 4 O'Clock, a podcast on vocations and discernment. Today, we are recording in the Therese of Lisieux studio. That's another one that I feel like is a little bit of an oversight that we've never named the studio after her. She's actually one of the patrons of priests, which is often forgot about, but because she gave so much of her life to praying for priests, I believe she's one of the co-patrons. You know, everyone thinks of John Vianney. He's the big one. But Therese, I believe, is also a patron of priests.
For a 20-something-year-old woman who didn't go very many places and didn't know very many people, to be the patron of priests and missionaries,
right,
is a... There's just something different. I experienced it on a college campus. Therese just has this hold on people, and things happen on Therese's feast day, and when it's just different.
Yeah.
It's just different.
Have you read Jacques Philippe's book on Therese?
No.
I really like it. Well, I read it the last year.
Way of Trust and Love,
I think that's what it's called. Yeah, I think I sent a chapter to all the seminarians. I highly recommend. Super good.
I think we did a candlelight mass on Therese's feast day one time at Izzy's.
Oh, cool.
And we're having candlelight mass tonight. It's St. Faustina's feast day. It's going to be cool. There's going to be a bunch of this cool. And on All Souls Day. So if we haven't started the, but this is going to happen after that happens.
Okay. By then the Dillo Bar will have closed.
1 week. But there was just something about the confessions that night. I still remember people who had been a long time. There's just, Therese is just on a different level. And so I'm glad we finally got to her, Chad.
Well, you know, well here.
In November.
It's her favorite month. That's why we picked it. She used to always talk about, if you name something after me, do it in November. One of her famous quotes.
Famously.
Here's to test your Catholic knowledge. Can you spell Lisieux?
Oh, man. No.
I have to look it up every time.
L-I-S-I-E-U-X.
Nailed it.
Nice.
Nailed it.
Lisieux.
Have you been there?
I haven't. I haven't. I know Sawyer went a number of years back, and I think Kider went.
Oh, really?
Maybe. I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong if you're listening, Adam. But in the studio of Therese of Lisieux, I am joined by the greatest associate St. Margaret Mary Parish currently has.
Amen.
Father Garrett Burns. And I am also joined by the man who holds the record for the most confessions heard at St. Paul WSU in the 21-22 season.
Yeah, all right.
Wow. Father Drew Hoffman. Well,
yeah.
You've been gone so much.
That's true.
Here's a question for you. Do you ever wonder, people who have not met us but listen to the podcast, do you ever wonder what they think we look like? Like they only hear our voice. Has this thought ever occurred to you?
Someone made us a drawing. Someone with some artistic ability that has not ever met us.
Please email us if you've never met us or seen a picture of what you think we look like.
How many people you think listen to this podcast have no visual representation of the three of us?
So the reason I ask this is my mom's one of those. I mean, she knows what I look like.
That's true. I met your mom the other day.
Yeah.
I had never met you.
So Drew was speaking to the parents of seminarians.
Parents of priests. Yeah.
Parents of priests. And which she said you did a great job. She really enjoyed it. Had a good message. Really very positive about
great.
It. But one thing she did say that kind of cracked me up is, you know, I never met him before. And listening to you guys, he has a lot more innocent face than I ever imagined.
Wow.
Like the way in which you grill Garrett and I in this, she did not feel you to have such an angelic, innocent face.
That just means that I have chubby cheeks and my face is usually red. Like that's what that means.
Look like that kid from that Christmas movie. What is Trevor always in? Around Christmas time?
A Christmas Story?
Oh, the dentist. What's the story about Kris Kringle and the dentist boy?
What?
The boy who wants to be a dentist.
This sounds like an awful movie.
No.
I've never heard of this.
It's Claymation.
It's Claymation, and the guy, all he wants to be is a dentist.
Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer.
Rudolph. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Kider, speaking of Adam Kider, he loves this. He shows people this. But it's a side-by-side.
Now we're ruining our thing. They're going to know exactly what you look like.
And I look like the lumberjack guy with the red hair, just if you're listening.
I once had a little kid. I was giving a talk, and the kid goes, why do you look like a tomato? Because I do. I mean, I have a kind of a genuine chubby cheeks and
this
red.
This afternoon,
red and,
when you walked in, the first thing I said to you is, do you get some sun? Because you look a little red today.
And people say that to me all the time. I was leaving Izzy's, and one of the going away notes was like, our favorite things about Father Drew, when he's been outside and he also has to wear red vestments that night.
Well,
I'm fascinated by this conversation. What do you think that you two, what do people think you two?
I don't know. I would love to know. I was genuinely fascinated. My mom told me like, yeah, he just looks a lot more innocent than I, she didn't tell me what she thought you looked like, but I can only imagine now.
This would be funny if someone who has never met any of us or even hasn't met one, if there's one of us
right,
they haven't met,
right.
If they want to draw a picture of us,
that would be amazing.
We will explain it. Like. Yeah. On the podcast, what it looks like. Good radio. Great radio.
I would find a way to add photograph pictures to the website if someone sends us in.
Man, that would be that so
the logo of the podcast.
That would be so funny. Oh, golly.
That would be awesome. Well, we haven't had a really controversial topic in the podcast in a while, so I thought it was time to heat things up. And so this actually has a Catholic connection, but we probably won't get to it till a little bit. But I want to start with, for controversy, what is the best sports movie out there? I know you're not a movie guy necessarily, but you are a sports guy, so sports guy. Hasn't it kind of overlaps? What's the best sports movie out there? Someone said, I need a good sports movie. What do you send them to watch?
So because I'm not really a movie guy, my answer probably, people probably, I love Friday Night Lights.
I knew he was gonna say.
I love Friday Night Lights.
Never seen it.
And I know that it's not probably, it's not cinema or anything like that. Remember the Titans is a better movie and there's way better movies and things like that. But I like Friday Night Lights. I could watch Friday Night Lights a lot. I like the Texas football feel. I love the end for the state championship. I love all y'all. I always, like my whole dream was to be able to say that to somebody.
Is it because you think it conveys well what high school football feels like, or
that was in no way my experience of high school football, but I love the book. I do love the book Friday Night Lights. And so I think that's probably part of it. I think the football is well done. And in most sports movies, the actual sports aren't that good, which is, it's never, I mean, it's not, right, it's not the goal. Right. And so I love Friday Night Lights. I'm not going to apologize for that. I like the TV show. TV show is very different, but we watched a lot of TV show at KU, but I like Friday Night Lights.
I've never seen it.
Not a movie guy, but
Remember the Titans is a good one. It wouldn't be my number one. It's a good one. It's a good one.
That would be up there for me.
You could argue for that, I think. Yeah.
What about you? The soundtrack alone on Remember the Titans.
It's true.
I think it's
a dynamite soundtrack. Yeah. Yeah.
So I was thinking Remember the Titans or The Sandlot.
Oh, that's a good one, man. So how do you consider that a sports movie? Obviously is. It obviously is. But
that's what I think is cool. It like encompasses just, it makes you feel like you should feel about just youth sports. If you're just hanging out, playing baseball, playing basketball out in the backyard with your buddies and kind of growing up through that. And The Beast is just great.
It's great. It's hilarious. That's my number one too.
Yeah.
That's what I have written down. Number one, Sandlot. There's some other I could contend for, but Sandlot's my number one. Is there any of the kids in the pack you identify more with?
Wow. Squints? I don't know.
This is funny. Speaking of people I look
ham
like.
Ham Porter.
People send me Ham Porter all the time.
Ham Bone!
I look like Ham Porter all the time. And again, what is Ham Porter? Chubby cheeks, red face.
That's so funny.
All the time that happens.
I've never made that connection, but as soon as you started going that direction, I knew where that ship was landing.
So I've always been, and talking trash, kind of like just talking some trash. Not actually that good.
Always talking.
Always talking. Not that good at athletics, but kind of hangs out with athletic people and things like that.
I always like, and I don't even know why, but like, like he's a super minor character, but and it says everything twice. Everything twice. But was always, I don't know. He was
the
one.
Who's the athletic guy?
The Jet. What's his
Benny.
Name?
Benny the Jet. Benny Rodriguez.
Benny. Yeah, there you go.
Gary's Benny, for sure. Yeah,
there you go. Yeah, we'll give it
to him. He wears the shoe.
I usually have the shoes on.
That's right. Yeah, Sandlot would be my number one sports movie. I think that, Remember the Titans, a great one. Cinderella Man, that's a solid.
I've never seen that.
You've never seen Cinderella Man?
That's the boxing movie, right?
Yeah. I'm a big boxing fan, but Cinderella and got some great just family elements in it. It's a really good movie for the family context. Rudy's a classic. You can always go with Rudy. So my Catholic connecting point to this is just a personal me sort of thing. Sometimes you get with anything, you can get in kind of a slump and just like, this is going to be a rough week or a rough month. One of my go-to secular pick-me-ups are sports movies.
Like
if,
really?
If I'm like feeling really down and beat up going to something like that Friday night, I want to watch a sports movie because you think about it, they're always about underdogs overcoming incredible odds that no one thinks they are. And they're usually good people. They're not terrible, horrible. They're good people overcoming rough odds. And I like watch it and there's something, a good sports movie. I can get through this. I can find another teacher. Yeah. I can work through these contract negotiations, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And my main one to go to, it's not my favorite sports movie, but like when I need that little extra oomph to get over the hump there.
Space Jam.
Golly, that's a good answer. That is a good answer I didn't even have down.
Space Jam with Kobe Bryant in it.
Yeah. Jeez, come on, man.
Invictus. Have you seen Invictus?
The rugby?
Yeah, South Africa rugby, Matt Damon, Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
It's a good movie. I wouldn't say it's a great movie, but just there's so many components of overcome and trials and working together and something bigger than you that, like I remember as a pastor one time, there was just some rough things going on in the parish. I was feeling pretty beat up and tired. And I think I watched Invictus 2 or 3 times that week. It was just like, all right, I need to space out, but I need something that's going to space out in a positive way for me. And so I just put Invictus on and I could just watch that over and over. And the poem that the title comes, it's a great poem. It's a little, maybe a little overly self-determining for Catholic theology, but there's still an idea like, no, I have a place in this. I can do something here. So yeah, that's why I was just curious about, great sports movies, because when things are rough,
you need a pep talk.
One thing I like,
I think that's why I like Friday Night Lights, because they don't win at the end, spoiler alert. But I do kind of like, that's usually not done that well, and I think it's really done well in that one. I like A League of Their Own, but that's the same thing.
I've never seen that one either.
Yeah, I like League of Their Own. That's one, if it's on TV in the afternoon, I'll stay and watch it for a while. So sometimes I like it when they lose at the end.
Yeah, I can't even think of other ones. Like, now that you say that.
That they lose in the end?
Yeah.
Did they lose in one of the Mighty Ducks? Great, been a long time.
Great question.
Knuckle Puck. I don't know.
I do like Mighty Ducks.
The Basham Brothers.
Mighty Ducks is a great answer.
I love how by like Mighty Ducks 2, the Basham Brothers are no longer bigger than all the other kids. Yeah. And they still have the persona of these tough kids, but they're not anymore.
Air Bud, you know, just... all of them.
They made us watch that freshman year of PE class. What? And I got in trouble because I fell asleep during it. Mr. Racine called me out for falling asleep during Air Bud at freshman year PE.
That's just tough. That was supposed to help you learn the rules of the game, right, or something?
That's right. I think the female PE coach was gone. And so that was the only joint activity they could think of that the boy and girl freshmen could do together was watch Air Bud. I don't know.
Not pump you up. That's not one of your go-to. Yeah,
I have never seen it since. It's actually in my heart associated with Great Injustice. This actually relates to our main topic I want to talk about today. I'm all about the segues. So this is a question that comes from a listener. And this is why I started thinking about, when I'm going through a rough time, what are some of the things that help? A listener sent in the question, what if God calls me and I don't want to go? What if God calls me and I don't want to go? Who wants to take the first swing at that?
I guess I would just say, like, how are you so confident that God is calling you if you don't want to go? Or what's behind that desire? Something we've talked about a lot. If God wills your good and he's going to work within your desires, you might have to work through some fears and some anxieties, but it's never just this forceful master to a slave. Like, this is the thing you're supposed to do. Go do it.
Right.
Even if you're going to hate your life forever. So, like, how are those two things so separate in your discernment? How are you so confident you're called when you're saying, at least there's no desire for you to go? That doesn't add up to me.
That is a good question.
Yeah. First thing that comes to my mind is that I am just almost always wrong about what's good for me.
And
that's
too.
Something we've talked
me
about.
Me too.
That is something
absolutely.
We've talked about a lot here.
So true.
And so I think about a parent who asks their kids to do something that they initially don't want to do. And then eventually they are thrilled about it, or maybe it's a life-changing thing. Or I think in my own life, my parents made me take piano lessons and I rebelled against it the whole time and refused to practice and pretended and things like that. And now I can't play piano. I can read music, but I can't. And I really wish that I truly wish that I could play what waste of time for a gift that I wish that I had. And so if God's asked me to do something that I don't want to do right now, okay. So what? Sometimes I do need to be asked to do things that I would prefer not to do that will be for my end good.
You just saying that about parents making you do stuff for your good reminds me of my mom when she has my nieces and nephews. So her grandkids over there, you know, so they're little kids. They're in that stage where they're kind of picky eaters and stuff. And so when she's making them a meal, before she serves some food, they always have to recite the number one rule at grandma's house. They all have to say out loud together, "Grandma will not poison us." And so every time before she puts food before my nieces and nephews, they all have to say, "Grandma will not poison us." But it's the same idea. Like, I'm not going to give you guys something bad. You might not like it, and that's okay, but this isn't a terrible thing. And we got to keep that. And sometimes maybe we need to say that God will not poison me.
What's the line in scripture? What child asks for an egg and the father gives him a scorpion or something?
Right.
I mean, that's the imagery. It's like, do I think, what kind of God do I believe in? If that's what I'm thinking, what kind of God am I thinking through?
Yeah. And kind of piggybacking on that, like you were saying, Garrett, it's not a master-slave relationship. I would tell a guy too, okay, you have the freedom to say no. You can say no to that. I wouldn't necessarily advise it, but you can say no. God's not going to smite you. He can still bless your life. You can become holy in another way. You probably won't reach the heights that the Lord would like to invite you to, but you always have the freedom to say no. And so if you feel like a choice where you don't feel like you have any choice is no choice at all. And our vocations, there is a choice in that. There's an invitation and a choice to respond to it. And then when we look at the Gospels, there are people who Jesus invited them to one way of life and they didn't. And he didn't smite them. He still loved them. I think we talked about that in one of the Lectio Divina episodes. But we do have the freedom to say no. So if God is inviting you and you don't want to go, I think your question is a great question, Garrett, of like, how are you so sure if you really don't want to go? But okay, if that's where you find at the end of the day and you can't get around that, you still have the freedom to say no. The church doesn't want you as a priest if you don't want to be a priest, okay? You're not going to do anyone any favors if you're coming and kicking and screaming and moaning about the whole time. The church doesn't want you if you absolutely don't want this.
But to also recognize, because we're so bad at just self-awareness and everything, my desire too could change. I think that's almost like a countercultural truth right now. It's just like, what do you want to do? You do what you want to do. Like, no matter what anybody else tells you or whatever, it's like, no, our desires change all the time and we can have an active process in that. I was speaking of manly sports movies. I was just talking about somebody there's a scene in The Breakup with Vince Vaughn and Jennifer Aniston.
Gosh.
That really, when I'm feeling low, that's a movie, another movie I reach for.
It's a great scene though. It's when they basically break up. I think it does express in a short scene what probably a lot of couples go through in communication and conflict resolution. But at one point she wants him to clean the dishes. And she's like, no, I want you to want to clean the dishes, you know? And he's like, why would I ever want to clean the dishes? But I think that's a good microcosm maybe of like, okay, maybe I don't want to do the dishes. Maybe right now I don't want to go to seminary, but like my desire could change if I lean into that. If, you know, for a spouse, if I love my spouse enough that I'm going to go do this thing I don't like to do, I could like learn to like that or even grow, not even, I can train my desire. And so if some way you are confident God is calling you to the priesthood, I can grow into a desire in that if I lean into it. And I know it's coming from a good God who wouldn't give me poison. But just, yeah, that idea that my desires can change. And like what I want right now, I shouldn't make a lifelong decision because right now I don't like the idea of priesthood or I don't feel like I want to go to seminary.
I do hope that's one of the effects of this podcast, even without our incredible ideas for bars or movies or things like that, or if we're not given any wisdom, that these are three guys who really love being priests, who love being priests, who could have done maybe some other things, I guess. But when I was a kid, even with having good priests in my life, I didn't know them that well. I really believed that the priesthood was something guys did because they were forced into it to help out the church, that they sacrificed happiness to help the church. And I hope even just hearing us like our lives, not always things going well and having difficulty, but that this is a blessing and this a gift. Mm-hmm. Okay, the priesthood is not something that you just get dragged kicking and screaming into because gosh darn it, the church needs somebody to say mass on Sunday morning. And so I do hope that we stand as some examples maybe of that.
I think it would be an interesting question too. The guy that comes in and says, well, I think the Lord's calling me to be a priest, but I don't want to be one. An interesting question might be, what do you think the priesthood is? Describe it to me. Because how many times do we build up these fears about things that we really don't have a great picture of, and that's part of where that fear is coming from. If you would have asked me to describe the priesthood at 18 years old, I didn't maybe have as good of a grasp of it as certainly as I do now. And so I think that would be a very interesting conversation with a guy that was struggling with that. And so if that's, if this is your question, you're struggling with that, you might find a priest that you trust and talk with them about, well, what do you think the priesthood is? Because you may not even have the right conception of what the priesthood is. It's so far different from what I thought it was when I first entered seminary.
I had this experience the other day with a guy who was interested in becoming Catholic. And he said to me, he said, not really religious tradition. He said, because I have been trying to build this engine to make myself happy and to understand why I exist and all of these things. And I'm just putting together all these pieces for this engine. Why would I not go to the organization that has been building this engine for 2,000 years and see if they have a path forward to happiness for me? And then he said, most people in the world these days just hit the accelerator without having even built the engine and see what happens. Yeah. And so, but I loved that as a, let's give the church and the Lord the benefit of the doubt. And then he said, I know there is a 0% chance I will agree with everything the church teaches while in RCIA. I also know there's a 0% chance I am right about everything I currently believe. Yeah. And I loved
that's
that.
That's great self-knowledge.
I loved that as a space that I think it applies to him becoming Catholic, but I think applies to the priesthood. Do I think that I am right about everything that I believe? Do I think I can make myself happier than, and the church who's been doing it for 2,000 years and the God who created me could?
Well, I think going back to what type of God do I believe in, you know, that God wants my good. And so if you're struggling with this question, maybe in a practical way of where to start is start growing your relationship with God. Because again, it begs the question of what type of God do you believe in? Who do you think God is? And so, okay, if you really can't get past this, maybe it's best to put this question on the back burner. This isn't step one. Step one is, I need to spend some more time in adoration. I need to make sure I'm going to Mass more than on Sundays. I need to make sure I'm going to regular confession. I need to make sure I'm working on this relationship with God so that I know who God is and that I am revealing my heart to him and so that we can have this more honest conversation. Then, yeah, maybe in a month or a year or whatever it is, we'll come back to this question of, is God calling me to be a priesthood? But right now, maybe where I need to be focusing is just getting to know you, Lord, and making sure that I'm opening my heart to you. I would also probably encourage the guy to see if he can identify, and this goes back to the idea, well, what do you think the priesthood is? Can you identify why you don't want to be a priest? You know, maybe it's, well, I don't, celibacy. Maybe it's because I don't want to be a public person. Maybe it's because I know I'm a sinner. Whatever it is, there could be a number of reasons, but identify why you don't want to be a priest. And then we talked about it in the last episode, discerning with the help of the church. Identify why, and then don't just leave it with yourself. Go talk with someone, you know, talk with the Lord, obviously, but go talk with a priest too. You might be surprised. Again, that last episode we were talking about, sometimes guys think things are deal breakers and they're not. Okay, this is why I don't want to be a priest. I can articulate it now. Let me go see a priest I can trust, my pastor, my chaplain, someone in the vocations office, and talk about why this is and really open up my heart and my mind and see where the Lord works in that.
And what a great just process to learn and like identifying a desire or a fear and what's underneath, not just like, I feel like I don't want to be a priest or I have this aversion to it. Okay. Well, like why, like what's beneath that? So often we just stop there and it's like a period to the sentence, but there's a lot more going on there and just learning to do that in prayer with friends, with a priest, all kinds of stuff we talked about, but just a great life discernment skill that doesn't have to be just priesthood, but just what is beneath this. Bring it to the light, bring it to the Lord, bring it to other people. Yeah.
And I always, when we're talking about this stuff, and now in retrospect, I can see so obvious, but I definitely had this experience when I was at KU and at seminary. There were definitely the times that this popped up in my own heart. Ugh, I'd be so much happier elsewhere, but God wants me to be a priest, so I guess that I'll do this. And I had I think we were on retreat, and the spiritual director on the assigned spiritual director, he just looked at me and says, let me give you an image of what you sound like right now. And then he like put his knuckles on the ground and dragged his knuckles on the ground like he was exhaustedly walking like this human that didn't even have enough energy to get his hands off the ground. And that sounds dumb, but I was like, yeah, that's exactly how I feel. And he's like, I know, man, I've been there. And so I just think that that's a fair, you're experiencing these things. I promise you, I've experienced these things too. And I was very wrong. And that's okay. But all of these things that we're talking about, I'm talking with people. Do I think that the God is going to poison me? Do I think I know better than God? Mm-hmm. This is normal stuff. This is normal stuff. Mm-hmm.
Right, right. And sometimes I think guys can even get stuck in the idea, almost like a martyr complex, like, oh, I've got to do this. And well, no, you don't. And as soon as you challenge with it, suddenly like, oh, well, I guess there is a little bit of me that wants to do this. There's a little something. As soon as it's kind of like, well, if you don't do this, I'm going to leave. Okay, fine, leave. Well, maybe not.
That is, if it's too easy, if I like it too much, am I really following the will of God? Mm. If I enjoy it, am I following what God wants me to do? There's some of that that's, we talked about today's Faustina's feast day. I looked up some of Faustina's quotes. They're all about suffering, every single one. And that's a gift. Suffering will come. Suffering will come. Am I looking for it out of nowhere? I think there's something there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's accepting the true suffering that like there is suffering along with the priesthood, but it's talking with the priest to know what that actually is.
Right.
And do I have the freedom to say yes to that and not this made up suffering that I'm just putting on myself.
Yeah. Well, the things that are hard for me to do in my priesthood are so different from what I thought were going to be the hard things to do in the priesthood when I was 18, 19, 20, 21. Different ballparks entirely. And most of the things I thought were going to be really hard, really not that big of a deal, actually. Life goes on, you get used to it.
There was a professor, now the academic dean at Kenrick, who used to tell me, you know what the reward for good work in the church is? More work. And I say that, and the students will repeat that. If I say, what's the reward for good work? The students will all go, more work. And one time, Father Gale at K-State challenged me on it, and he said, yeah, but often it's more work that you love to do.
Yep.
And that was because I think that he was experiencing that the students were getting it in their heads that like, as soon as I do something good, I'm going to have to do something really hard that I don't want to do. And it is going to be more work, but often it's work that inflames your heart and excites you and energizes it. That's hard, but is good work that you like to do. So I have to remind myself that pretty often.
I just had that moment. I just came back, as you guys know, took a kind of a long weekend, just 3 or 4 days of vacation to kind of get away and breathe a little bit.
Yeah, you just sent me a picture of your Jeep on a mountain.
That is more embarrassing than my Colby Bryant.
Just on like Mosquito Valley or something.
Mosquito
like
Pass, one of the highest drivable passes, started hailing and snowing on me. It was a little nerve wracking at times, but it was good. I was out in Colorado. I love the mountains. The aspens were beautiful, just turning gold. So many wonderful things. Love it, love it, love it. And I knew coming back that there was going to be a lot of work to do because there always is when you leave. The desk is that. And yet, honestly, I was excited to get back because, there was a lot of work, but it's work that I like. It's work that I'm passionate about. It's a work that helps and makes a difference. And so I could have listened to the radio all the drive back, but I found myself making notes and thinking. I showed Garrett my notes because he makes fun of me because I jot things down sometimes while I drive.
Don't say that.
I-70 is straight. I wasn't jotting them down on Mosquito Pass while I'm four-wheeling. But I love the work. That's the point is, the work is good. And yes, is it heavy sometimes? It sure is, but I want to do it. And that goes back to that wanting the ball. Yeah, I want in there. Yeah. I want on the court. I want to be doing that work. Well, I think we'll leave it there for today. I've got the closing quote today. It needs a little backstory. This comes from Blessed Francis Xavier Silos.
Ooh.
He would struggle with being just distracted during his prayer during Holy Hour, which I'm sure you guys have never experienced.
You know it's his feast day today, right? You're kidding me. You are kidding me.
I'm looking this up.
It is.
Today's
Faustina trumps him usually for most, probably at most places, but yeah.
I kid you not. The last time this happened, people accused me of lying. I genuinely did not know. But I pray with this quote a lot and I like it. Man,
the saints in the church are so much smarter than us.
Are you using the ordo? What are you doing? What are you just doing? Mass of what of the day? What's happening here?
I have mass this evening. I haven't done mass yet today.
Oh boy. But Faustina usually does. Most people probably do Faustina, but
I genuinely don't even know what to do with that information. That really does blow my mind.
Okay, I'm sorry to have interrupted you here.
I want to curse in joyful ways. Just, I don't know what to do with that. Anyway, so Francis Xavier Seeler, who's apparently it's his feast today. Hats off to you, buddy. I'm grateful for your guidance. Blessed Francis Xavier Seeler would get distracted in his prayer. And so this quote, it's a prayer he wrote in one of his journals during a retreat. And it's a prayer that I adapted a little bit for my own sake, but I use it a lot sometimes in the holy hour. And so from Blessed Francis Xavier Seelos. O help, O help, O Holy Mother of God, let me become so inflamed and sanctified that I am not always thinking of breakfast. See you next week.